Welcome to Get a Move On, the podcast for movement lovers who are fed up with their injuries and want to enhance their all-round health. On this podcast, I'll help you change how you think about pain and illness so you can drop the frustration and move freely. I'm Amy, an osteopath turned yoga teacher and mindset coach. On this pod, I'll be talking about the joys of pain, injury and illness, the mind-body connection, and how they relate to our movement practice so you can get a move on.
And we're live. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Get a Move On with Amy Slevin. This week we're talking about New Year's resolutions because this will come out just before or just after New Year's. Amy's never afraid of being opinionated, nor controversial, nor contrarian, and therefore I'm sure she's got nothing interesting to say here. Ames, how are you?
Hello, I'm okay. I've had actually, if I can just like say this super quick, I've had quite a stressful couple of weeks repainting the house. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about.
And I guess the entry level question is, are you going to be making any New Year's resolutions?
No.
Why not?
It's you okay. Know, because they've gone out of fashion. And I am definitely one to follow a fashion trend. Well, they have gone out of fashion, but that's not why I won't be doing them. You know, I've never really done them. Even when I was a kid, and I remember like at school when I was like, I don't know, 8 or 9 or whatever, and they were like, yes, okay, everyone, so we're now going to make a list of New Year's resolutions. And you kind of sit there and you're like, okay, and you sort of conform because that's what everyone's doing and the teacher says that's what you should do and blah, 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 New Year, whatever. And I think that's probably the only time in my life I've ever given it any thought.
Yeah, they're somehow an optimistic act, aren't they? They somehow are grounded in the idea that next year can be better than this year. And it's up to me to make the difference. And that's why they're nice. And that's why I think, generally speaking, we like them. The interesting detail for me is the fact that, like, as we've got all a little bit type A and cultures move towards workaholism or something approximating that.
Yeah.
What ends up happening is they become a bit of a pressure-y thing. And it's like, next year has to be better than this year in quite an inspirational way. And I'm just wondering whether that's where your beef lies.
Kind of. Well, I mean, given the years that we have just had, 2020 and 2021, everyone is like, oh my God, this year has to be better than last year. And I think it's actually kind of hilarious that actually when we were coming into 2021, no, in fact, when we were coming into 2020, everyone was like, yeah, 2020, it's going to be amazing. And resolutions aside, everybody was like, was super optimistic. They were like, it's 2020, it's clear vision, we're going to see things perfectly. And then on like day 3 of 2020 was when like the United States practically declared war on Iran. I don't even remember. And everyone was like, oh, shit, it's day 3 and already this shit show has happened. And then, I don't know, there was something else. I can't remember, some other big event, and then Corona. Anyway, it's more about the fact that most people set completely impossibly high and lofty resolutions that are just not meaningful to them. And that's the problem. We're like, yeah, I'm going to give up smoking, or yeah, I'm going to give up alcohol, or I'm going to eat healthily. And these are all very, very well-intentioned things. But there are often things that are just not that meaningful to us and not that important to us.
Yeah, and we have to talk about what makes something stick and sustainable. Because you have this classic idea of, if I try hard enough at something I recognize objectively as good for me, I can do it. And then inevitably, it's like 3/4 of these things fail by January the 15th. So let's talk about it. Why is it that some things, some changes just don't stick?
Because we haven't connected them enough to what's really important to us, which if anybody wants to go back and listen to the Van Use episode, I highly recommend it. There are things that are not specifically or strongly related enough to what's truly important to us. And so, yeah, we might, as you say, like we might have well-intentioned desires to make certain changes, but if they're not really meaningful to us, we're just not going to bother. We're going to give up at the first hurdle.
Yeah, that's why health is so often a health scare is such a strong and sticky motivator to change your diet. Whereas I want to look better is often not enough to do it. Because somehow, psychologically, subconsciously, what you're getting out of looking better, quote unquote, in your mind isn't as strong as the quote unquote benefit of eating, be it comfort eating or whatever kind of eating. Whereas if you have a proper health scare and you can connect it to, oh shit, if I don't eat well, I might not be around to see my kids grow up. Well, now you start eating well, like almost automatically.
Exactly. And it's the same as going to the gym. So every January, I've been teaching at a gym on a Sunday morning for about the last 7 years. And every January, as it happens ubiquitously across the entire planet, all the gyms are full for the month of January. There are people who come to like one or two classes and you know that you're never going to see them again. And that's fine, right? They're dipping a toe in. They're kind of like, it's all kind of feedback, right? And if you give up on something, in a sense, it's like a feedback that it's just not that important to you. So the well-intentioned go to the gym with the aim of taking care of themselves, of being healthy. But like you say, they don't have enough correlation to what's truly important, like, oh shit, I've had a health scare. I want to be around for my kids. Therefore, I need to really radically change something. But just for the kind of slightly abstract idea of I just want to be healthy or healthier, ain't going to cut it. And you're going to not have enough motivation and you're going
to
give up.
Yeah, and that's why people who are committed to the gym in their adult life, a lot of the time were fat when they were kids, basically.
Like David Goggins.
Like David Goggins. It makes sense, right? If something you felt insecure about was your physical stature or your weight, well, going to the gym is now an important thing for you. That's the mechanic you're talking about, I guess, here when you're talking about New Year's resolutions. Unless you can link it to something that you actually give a shit about, it's not going to happen. And that's why, by the way, things like walking football are so great for so many older dudes. Because then
walking football?
Yeah, walking football.
Stop it. Just,
yeah.
Just, I mean, it does what it says on the tin, presumably.
No, it's great. Yeah, yeah.
How does it work? Because a ball, the whole point of football is that you're running and you kick a ball and it moves fast and you have to run in order to keep up with the ball. How on earth does walking football work?
Like, it's just the same,
kick,
right?
It really softly.
No, you kick it at full pace. It's just you kick it to someone who's stationary.
Oh.
Anyway, the point being, walking football is great for so many middle-aged dudes because they can actually get themselves to do it because football is important to them in a way that it's very difficult to tie in the health stuff and it feels abstract and their wife's nagging them and it doesn't really connect. But then it doesn't need to connect. They don't need to do it for health as much as they can do it just for football as soon as it becomes walking football.
Yes, but they're probably also linking. It's a social world experience. It's time like when they're with other men and they have like blokey time where they don't really have to kind of talk about stuff, you know? They're just doing their physical activity. They're not really like...
We have a dim view of middle-aged men on this show. Can't get away from the missus. Don't want to talk about my feelings.
Yeah. Isn't that how they work?
No, we're going to give them more credit than that, I think.
Fair enough. You know, they probably think it's a bit of fresh air as well. And I think there's probably a strong social aspect to it too. That I don't know, but I'm just guessing.
I wonder too, with New Year's resolutions, the degree to which we make them knowing we're not going to keep them up, but we do it just for the dopamine.
And the fantasy.
Yeah, because it's bleak in December, isn't it? And you think, God, I need some pretend silver bullet. And oh my God, I'll change everything next year. And I'll stop smoking and stop drinking and get up at 3 a.m. and do 8 hours of meditation and win and build a business. And it's dopamine.
Yeah. Although, you know what? I actually know somebody, one of my clients, who gave up alcohol in the second or third week of January and still has not had a drop to drink.
See, it's interesting because there's nothing different between the second and third week of January than the 31st of December.
Yeah.
But it feels different, which is why like new years and new months are, if you can align them with what you're interested in, a really good opportunity to start something different.
Yeah. And I think if anybody does want to do a New Year's resolution, in fact, let's just talk about it for a second. Have you ever had a New Year's resolution or done one, made one? What do you call it?
Yes, I did. I have.
And what was it?
It was to meditate. It was when I was meditating and I was doing about an hour a day and I was committed to doing 2 hours a day. But I couldn't do it. But before we dive into that, one thing I do get stuck with New Year's and sort of resolutions is I use the 31st of December as a deadline. And I use the 1st of January as the new world kind of thing. So before the January the 1st, I must XYZ, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not allowing myself January basically to do like things that are absolutely great to do in January. There's nothing wrong with the 17th of Feb being the date the task is complete. But it feels like there is, you know? It feels like if I want to make the most of this year, well, Jesus, you've got to start in January. Like, if I'm starting in Feb, like, Jesus, I have to wait till 2023.
It's like me. When I used to go to university, when I say used to go, whenever I did actually turn up, if I was going to be like 5 or 10 minutes late, I just wouldn't go.
Yeah, or people who work in half hour blocks and they go, oh, it's 36 past, I have to wait until the hour.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, but I actually think that like April, May, June, any other time than January is a great time to start something. Like, so for example, if somebody contacts me, this was in the past when I was teaching a lot more yoga, and someone came to me in January and was like, hey, I want to start doing yoga, would you be my teacher? Generally, I would turn them down because I knew that they were not going to be the kind of client that I would want.
Yeah, and you're not allowed to buy a dog or a cat in lots of places just in the 2 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's very sensible.
The reason I brought up, though, the 31st of December being a deadline was because it's just arbitrary. It's really obviously arbitrary. But it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel arbitrary. And I think with resolutions, too, people don't perceive the end of the year is an arbitrary thing, because in some ways it isn't, you know, like it's a clear demarcation that we're on something new. And I wanted to know whether you could muster a defense of New Year's resolutions in some way and whether there was a way to make them work.
Yeah. So, well, it's all about the meaning that we give something, right? Which is why when we get to the end of December, the meaning that we have given as humans to the year and the time passing. But it's not just that, it's like, you know, it comes back to, I guess, like pagan stuff of like renewal and newness and the cycles of the moon, that kind of thing. So yeah, you know, January and springtime generally are kind of like times of renewal, which is why people start to make resolutions. I don't actually know where the concept came from. You know, that's kind of what it's about. And there is a sense of like, yes, especially if you've had a shit time of 2020 or 2021, you're going to be like, oh my God, I need some radical change here. And as we all know, change starts from within. And as Gandhi said, be the change that you want to see in the world. So we have to be the ones to change within ourselves, which is, I think, kind of in the attempt to make a better life, where the resolution comes from.
Ames, do you know about Blue Monday?
Yes.
So that's the third Monday in January, right? And the reason why it's Blue Monday,
Everyone's so fucking depressed.
Yeah, but one of the reasons they're depressed is it's obvious by then, the third week of January, that nothing's going to have changed from December, which is where the New Year's resolutions, you can't help but feel like you're making the problem worse.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, shit, like everything's the same. I failed my resolutions and I'm therefore a failure in life, and it's dark and the mornings are dark and I can't get up in the morning and I failed my resolutions. I think it's all about like, being realistic, first of all, and making sure that anything, any goals that you do set, so this can be a resolution or it can be any kind of life, bigger goal, just be aware of like how long you think it's going to take you to get there. I found this like piece of paper that I had from like 2016 and it said 2017 yoga goals. One of them was like handstand something or other. One of them was like this, I don't know, some other pose. And one of them was like so completely impossible. And I was like, yeah, I can do that in, like, I don't know, by March. No, babe, you can't. Like, no fucking chance. And to this day, still can't do it.
Yeah, we should talk about the role of patience here. Because I struggle with this too. I struggle to say, I'll achieve X by next year or year after or year after. Because I'm 24, right?
And therefore you want everything now.
That, and also when you're 24, 27 is ancient. Like, I'm never actually going to be 27, obviously.
Oh my God.
So it's no good. It's no good to say that something is going to come around when I'm 27, because I'll be like, I'll be like a lifeless.
Exactly. You'll be grey haired on death's door.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So what's the point? You have to have it now.
Yeah. And I find that that's a really unhelpful way to go. I mean, there's a thing around macro patience and micro impatience, which effectively means I'm going to be really impatient about getting these tasks done, these little tasks, but I won't expect to see a change on the big scale for months or years. But I'm wondering, how do you come to terms, and that's how it feels, right, subjectively, with something that you're interested in taking 2 years, 3 years, 5 years?
I think it might help to think about, well, first of all, just to think, well, how realistic is it that it can happen any quicker than that? And what would you actually need to do in order for it to happen, I don't know, in 3 months' time? When you think about it in those terms of like, okay, so I would need to, I don't know, depending on what the goal is. Say, for example, if we wanted to have, I don't know, 5 million listeners to this podcast by March of next year, what would we actually have to do in order to achieve that? And then when you really think about it and sit down and be like, okay, so we'd have to contact massive people who do podcasts connect with them, connect with all the major fucking celebrities of the world, try and get them to come on. People who already have a huge following, how likely is it that they are going to agree to come on our little teeny tiny podcast? What other action steps can we realistically take in order to achieve that within 3 months? And sometimes goals do happen more quickly than we expect, and that's cool. But when you really think about it and think, okay, so these are the things I would need to do, or the things I would need to have in order to be able to do those things, that sometimes just helps give things a bit of perspective and a bit of, right, okay, cool. So maybe it's not going to happen in 3 months, maybe 10 years.
Yeah, and there's something to add to it, which is whenever you're feeling that something is, I mean, I'm speaking to myself more than anyone else. Whenever you think that something's big and difficult and you think, fuck's sake, I wish it wasn't so big and difficult. The nice thing is, once you do get there, the gap between where you currently are and where you will be are the barriers to entry. Like, the reason it's cool, by definition, is because it's difficult. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it and it'd be no fun.
Exactly.
You know, I think that a lot around, like, because I have a couple of different ambitions in the next 5 years, right?
Mm.
One is to grow the business, keep growing the business. And I have goals in my head of, like, it'd be awesome for it to bring in this amount of money or that amount of money.
Well, let's just talk about that for a second. So what business do you want him to grow?
Is this a plug?
Yeah, it's a shameless plug. Go for it.
So I run Podcast Igloo and I work with two editors and a producer, and we make unbelievable, beautiful podcasts for small businesses. And the best bit is Amy is recording, but you don't even need to record. We get unbelievable guests and record it for you. And we've had Nobel Prize winners, Times Top 100 Most Influential. We've had Business Book of the Year. I want to grow that business. You know, like, I have numbers in my mind and I know how many clients it would take to get to each step and what that would look like in terms of the internal mechanics of the business. And I think, Jesus, it feels a long way off to get to the level of financial return that would objectively be really, really cool, but would represent like a big goal. I think, fuck, it's a nightmare that that's a 3-year goal rather than a 6-month goal. But, and there is a but, if, and it's a big if as opposed to a when, right? That'll happens. It'll have been 3 years of quite hard work, which makes the thing cool, because in order to get from A to B, takes 3 years of work. So then at the end, you sit there with 3 years of work behind you, as opposed to something you can download. And that's kind of where the gratification, I'd imagine, would be. I mean, I'm nowhere near it.
Yeah, but also the gratification is in the process. If you can fall in love with the doing and being in the now, the here and now, or as they say in Yogaland, be present in the present. If you can be content with where you are now and know that at every step there are going to be benefits and there are going to be drawbacks and there's going to be advantages and disadvantages at every stage of the game, rather than thinking, oh God, like, where I am right now is really shit compared to where I want to be.
I think that's the key point. I think that's absolutely the key point. If you could see, if one could see that their goals aren't actually going to make them better off upon completion.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just as good. It's just a different set of challenges. It takes the rush out of the game, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because the rush is dopamine saying things are so much better on the other side of the hill.
Exactly. And so say, for example, like, just take this podcast, for example. If, for example, in 3 months' time, we suddenly did have 5 million listeners, what would be the drawbacks? To, let's just say, me specifically. Okay, so I think this is very scary to say out loud, but basically, truth be told, I haven't been doing this for very long. Okay, so the people who have been listening so far, thank you for putting up with my shitness whilst I'm still in the process of growing and developing and getting much better at articulating stuff, right? If I'm expecting myself to have so many listeners right away, and then I do have so many listeners right away, whilst I'm still a little bit shit, let's be honest, then I'm going to like alienate myself from so many potential people who are going to just like listen to this and think this is such shit. Whereas, you know, I'm now, because I have probably, I don't know, three people who listen. One of them's my mom, one of them's you, and one of them, I don't know, is probably my cat. So having those people listening, there are people who actually give a shit and they give me feedback, which is incredibly valuable. So I can hear what I'm doing well, what I'm not doing well. And I'm so grateful for that. And just for me to kind of be in the here and now, prepare and learn how to create better podcasts while I'm still tiny, and then not rush the process, basically.
Yeah, and it's a good example of like okay, so you get feedback this way and you feel overwhelmed with the pressure of lots of people listening. Probably life looks like this more generally. Like, even if you get your New Year's resolutions and you succeed and now you've stopped smoking and you wake up at 5 a.m. and you're a little bit more productive, it's so easy to go, and that means better. That equals better. Therefore, now's shit. Therefore, I need to beat myself up for my failure to complete that. Whereas the honest truth is there's a new set of challenges. And I know that sounds a little bit however it sounds, but you know it. Because in your life, it's not like you haven't achieved things you were desperate to achieve. And you ran into the new set of challenges. You know, you finish school and you go, after my A-levels, oh my God, everything will be wonderful. And you graduate, quite literally in that case, to the challenges of university. Then you think, God, I'm bored of uni now. All I want is a settled job in London. You know, flatmates, perfect. You get it and you run into the new problems. And this is true at basically every stage of life. And I would be interested in if anyone's had the experience of completing a goal and then just going, oh, set forever, sorted.
Well, I do know of an example of that. So there was a guy who was doing, he was a parkour person, and he was training to do this very complicated move. And I don't know how long it took him, but it took him, I don't know, a couple of years, I think. And basically, after he had achieved it, he stopped training because it was this, like, such a big, crazy thing, that this move that he was doing, like a flip and a this and a jump and a, I don't know, something very elaborate, that when he finally achieved it, he was like, that's it, I'm done, I have nothing else to achieve. And he literally just stopped and he moved on. And that was it. He lost his drive. So that is a thing that can happen. But also the thing is, when something is truly meaningful for you, you're going to have the patience. You're going to have the objectivity. So for example, me and my handstand journey, like I know, or I knew from the early days of handstanding when it was just so fucking difficult, that it was going to be a long game. And because movement and movement skills are really important to me, the time it was going to take was irrelevant. For me, the joy was in the process. And that's the same for anybody who's doing anything that's important to them, that's truly meaningful for them. You get so absorbed in the process that yes, you have the goal, yes, you have the idealized outcome, but you're also just like so digging the moment and being there and struggling and like falling out the handstand and you're like, oh God, like I'm kicking up and I can't get up and I can't stay there. And it's frustrating. But like there is so much joy within that frustration because that is just how it goes. And when we set New Year's resolutions, we kind of lose that objectivity, partly because we're doing stuff that isn't really that meaningful for us, which is why it's much better to set goals.
Yeah, and it's also outcome-based, right? None of it's process-based. No one says, oh, my New Year's resolution is to embark on the difficult and at times challenging mission of getting myself to the gym 4 times a week. When you're making that resolution, all you have in your mind is losing the weight.
Yeah, or I don't know, how has this never occurred to you, just out of interest, try and get buff? Oh, maybe it has. I remember it has. You did have a little phase of going to the gym.
Yeah, no, I totally did. I got attracted to the idea of putting on a little bit of muscle. And then what happened was I did, lo and behold, put on a little bit of muscle and stopped.
Why? Because you got one girl and you're like, done. Goal achieved.
No. Instead, what happened, I looked at myself in the mirror, topless, and thought, ah, don't like it.
Really? You were like, no, I just want to be skinny, actually.
Yeah, it didn't look like me.
That's interesting.
I felt like, put it this way, I'm never going to be big, right? Like, my frame isn't big. I don't think I'd suit looking big. And in any case, I put on a little bit of muscle and I looked like I thought. There's a thing in popular culture called a Kyle. A Kyle is like an angry American 16-year-old who like punches walls because homework sucks. And I looked like a Kyle. I looked like a Kyle.
And I bet you the blonde hair didn't help either.
Yeah, so Ames, are there any general principles of goal setting that apply, be it New Year's or any other time?
As I've said already, be realistic about how long it's going to take you and be able to fall in love with the process rather than fixate on the outcome, and be very conscious and make yourself conscious of whatever you actually can do to make it happen, and then take those steps. Because otherwise you're just going to set a goal and be like, yeah, this is my goal, woo, bye. But when you know exactly specifically what you need to physically do or to have in order to achieve it, then you are able to take those steps.
Yeah, there's something else here too. Jordan Peterson, I know he's sort of controversial, but he's excellent at some stuff. And he's really good at articulating goal setting. So he basically says the human mission is to go from A and go, yes, B is challenging and meaningful, I'm going to go do B. But the first thing that happens after you take a step off point A is you realize that actually you don't fancy B, or B isn't that direction, it's the other direction. And rather than goal setting and goal achievement being A to B linearly, what ends up happening realistically, and this is something we end up criticizing ourselves for, is you take one step off the podium and it's like, oh, hang on, no, it's way over there. And you sort of take a couple of steps there and you go, oh, no, it's actually over there. And it's that process of refinement, because you just have more information about yourself and about the goal, that's kind of inevitable, but it's easy to criticize yourself if you're not expecting that.
Totally. And to beat yourself up when you give up, or if you decide to kind of change direction or kind of like bounce from one to the other, and then you're like, oh shit, but I'm not achieving anything or whatever it is, or I've given up, or, and that's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. It is, as you say, it's like a process of refinement, a process of getting to know yourself. And I think it's important to kind of come back to also what I should have said earlier, what I'm going to say now, is like, just remember why you're doing something. Why really do you want to do this thing? What's it going to give you if you have this thing? What's it going to give you that you don't already have? Can you be happy and satisfied with what you do already have? Do you really need to change anything? And I know that that might sound like a little bit like...
nihilistic.
Yeah. But when you can be okay with where you are now, then that actually reduces misery and dissatisfaction, because you're not going to be comparing yourself to an unobtainable fantasy. You're going to be like, okay, well, this is what we have. This is reality. And you can't change reality necessarily, but you can change how you feel about it.
Yeah, and also all of the qualities that end up being productive. Patience, objectivity, balance. I mean, these are the productive qualities over any period of time, any time frame. They're what come out when you're happy with where you are. When you're massively polarized about something, you aren't efficient, right? You aren't effective at acting. You're one thing and then you're another thing, and it's really hard to manage the process.
Yeah. And actually, when something is not that meaningful to you, that's when you want it to be easy. That's when you want it to be quick. But when something is meaningful for you, like me and the handstands, for example, then the time it's going to take, it's just kind of irrelevant. You know, you're just like, no, I'm here because I want to just do the thing.
There's an interesting contrast between December, which is effectively drink lots, drink more, celebrate with family, and like working December, like what? Especially towards the end. And then January, where it's a total switch and everyone goes, right, roll up the sleeves, 5 a.m. wake ups and yoga.
5 a.m. wake ups and yoga. Yeah. And I think just like cut yourself some slack, like do what's really meaningful for you. And remember to keep asking yourself, why? Why am I doing this? Why is this meaningful to me?
And if the answer is kind of hard to come by and you're not really sure it counts as meaningful, it would just be better in some very obvious way. Run the experiment, but it's unlikely it sticks. And the truth is, like, whenever some people pick up new hobbies and do them to the extreme, they by definition never fucking stick, because if they were meaningful to you, you'd have been doing them before. And the dogma around it, like, I need to do all of this, otherwise it's all broken. Ugh, I've been down that road. I mean, we've all been down that road. You know how this ends.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really useful to just observe the things that you spontaneously do without needing to be reminded, without having to have a New Year's resolution to get you to do it. That is the thing that is, or are the things that are most meaningful for you. I am just going to say, after all of this chat, this podcast was the inception of a, not so much a resolution, but a end of year goal or New Year goal. And look at us now, a year later.
Yeah, well, it obviously was a meaningful mission for you to want to do. You could link it in some meaningful way with the outcome you were after.
Exactly. And it's very much, you know, in line with my mission and my why. So there we are.
So in sum, unless there's some evidence of you doing the fucking thing, and unless it's in some way meaningful,
just don't fucking bother.
Don't fucking bother. And that's on an inspirational note. The positive twist is set goals that are genuinely aligned with the stuff you're into. And if you're wondering whether I am actually into this, go look at your life and see, does this thing exist in a slightly different form?
Yes, exactly. Very well summarised.
And with that, thank you for listening. Happy New Year. And don't fucking bother. That was Get a Move On with Amy Slevin.
If you enjoyed that, we'll be back next week with a slightly different topic. And if you didn't enjoy that, we'll be back next week with a slightly different topic. Thanks for listening.